God intended marriage to be permanent, but our culture says marriages can be broken when a better deal comes along. However, that better deal carries with it some heavy baggage, the psychological burden of multiple sexual bonds, and the fragmented families left behind. Today, more on the sexual revolution's dark side and why God's design for marriage is the only one that works. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series describes seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about sexual freedom, the poisoned oasis, turning our attention to the story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis.
Now let's talk about sexuality and marriage for just a moment. You'll notice that God brings the woman to the man. And he says in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, for she was taken out of the man." That's the marriage ceremony right there. Now, marriage involves two things. First of all, it involves a covenant, an agreement to live together. And I take it that those words are the covenant. She shall be, in effect, my wife, is what Adam is saying. But it also involves something else. It involves, you see, the sexual relationship. And God goes on to say, "For this cause, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." They will become one body, soul, and spirit. I have to put in a parenthesis here. Marriage involves both the covenant and the sexual intimacy. You can have one without the other, and you really don't have a marriage. Sometimes young people feel this tremendous obligation to marry the person with whom they have had their first relationship. And there are reasons for that, as we'll explain in a moment. But it's a bad idea, may be a bad idea. And so what we need to do is to counsel people correctly on these matters. Then you find in today's society, people say, "Well, you know, we live together, but we don't have a marriage relationship. In fact, we don't need a wedding." And then they always ask that question with such a sense of self-confidence. "What's a piece of paper anyway?" They always ask that. Years ago, my wife and I sold a home that we owned, and people decided to buy it, and they said, "We're going to give you so much money," and we agreed that that was a good thing. Why didn't we just shake hands and say, "It's a deal"? That's all. We're reputable people. You're reputable people. Let's just shake hands. Why all this business of signing all of these documents? And God only knows how many we ended up signing. It's a secret, and He's not telling. But why sign all these documents? Because what's a piece of paper anyway? Can't you just hear it? The answer is, look, I want you to know that we had an attorney, they had an attorney, we signed documents, they signed documents. Why? Because what we're saying in so many words is, look, friends, you might be reputable people, but we want you to know that if tomorrow you're driving down the street and you see a house for sale that you like better than this one, tough news, because you're stuck with this one, thank you. That's what's happening in a marriage ceremony. Isn't it? Tomorrow you see somebody else, tough news, buddy. We were there. We saw it happen. We've got a piece of paper. Now, when the Bible says that they became one flesh, they became one flesh just like in a metaphysical sense. Same word that is used in Hebrew when it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one. In the very same way, they shall become one flesh. That's what marriage is all about. Now let's move on and talk about sexuality and alien bonds. What is an alien bond? An alien, you know, is a foreigner. An alien bond is a bond that is not sanctioned by God. It is a bond that breaks into that God-given relationship, breaking the boundaries and smashing the intention of God. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to a passage of Scripture. It's found in the New Testament in the book of Corinthians. It sheds more light on sexuality than all the secular books you will ever read. No matter how many have been written, no matter how many have been analyzed, no matter how much sexuality is talked about, you will never find a better understanding than in the Creator who made us, than this passage of Scripture. You'll notice Paul says, and I'm going to pick up 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I shall begin in verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her? For it is said, and here's what shocks us, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. The Apostle Paul takes an alien bond, a relationship with a prostitute. In a sense, one of the most degrading alien bonds, because there's no pretense of love. Nobody's saying that this somehow is a loving relationship. It is raw lust based on money. It is in its most degrading form, a relationship where there's no pretense. And notice the Apostle Paul says, they become one flesh. For God says, the two shall become one flesh. Wow. That doesn't mean they're married. It's like I mentioned a moment ago. Very important to understand, because there's no covenant. They have the relationship without the protection of the covenant. But that's an alien bond, you see. An alien bond may be a homosexual bond. It may be molestation. It is any bond that actually is outside of the realm of a man-woman relationship with a covenant in marriage. That's an alien bond. And God says that when there's a relationship outside of that, it is still true that they become one flesh. Now, when you stop to think of it, what that means is that this intruder, this alien bond, has some incredible consequences. May I give you a few very quickly? First of all, imagine the power of the first bond. Imagine the power of the first bond. Because you see, you have the image of the man and you have the image of the woman, and they are being joined together in this relationship, and therefore it is powerful. I didn't bring it with me deliberately because this message would get too long, but I received a letter which I dictated a reply to this past Friday from a woman who heard me speak on this over the radio. Amazing letter. All that she can think about in her present marriage is the first man with whom she was bonded. He was not a Christian, and so she broke the relationship. And now she's in a relationship where her heart actually is somewhere else, and she says it is on the verge of destroying our marriage. Wow. I think of a young woman who came to me, tears running down her cheeks and dropping onto her lap, telling me a story of how she was seduced by an older man in a church, and the church acquitted him and called her the one that was responsible, a terrible situation, kind of unfairness that often exists. And there she is weeping, but she says to me, even though he did me so much dirt, if I saw him today on a street corner and he said, let's run off and be married, I'd marry him. Why was her first bond? So much power in that first bond. Now, what if that first bond is not at all even a consensual relationship? What if it's molestation? I think, for example, of Roger, whom some of you know about, who died of AIDS many, many years ago, and his story was so remarkable that I actually had it taped. But he said the way he got into homosexuality is an older man introducing him to it, molesting him as a child. And you begin to think that that's the way you are. That's the imprint that is left on your soul. And therefore, that's the direction in which you go. It has that kind of power. Any one of us could have ended up in that lifestyle if we had been molested by someone who was trying to bring us into it. When I was at Exodus International, a great work, by the way, working with those who struggle at various levels of homosexuality, I discovered that 80% of all lesbians were molested by their father, an uncle, a babysitter, or whatever. Do you understand why? Not why it was done, but do you understand the consequences? Because now all parameters are taken away. All of God's protections for this relationship have been removed, and now the child, hating men, understandably so, begins to gravitate toward the same sex and try to recreate the same experience, and able to do so in some measure, and therefore thinking that they can find fulfillment in this relationship, all because of the fact that they were violated as children. That's why it's so important. I mentioned a moment ago when we talked about children, it is so very, very important. Jesus said that he who causes one of these little ones to stumble, it were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And today I speak to some of you who are abusing children, whether sexually or otherwise, and I've said this before from this pulpit, but I need to say it again. Stop it! Stop it! The power of those first bonds. There's another consequence, and that is the tendency to promiscuity. I remember a young woman, 26 years old, tired of being a virgin, saying, "It's my turn, everybody else is doing it, I might as well." She said that when it was over, she could almost hear the words in her mind, just as clear as anything, say, "Well, now that you're defiled, anything is possible." Began a whole system of immorality that when she became pregnant, she did not know who the father was. One alien bond causing her to spin out of control because, see, all the boundaries are gone now.
This is Pastor Lutzer. The message that you have just listened to is surely one of the most important I could ever preach to people in today's society. When we begin to violate God's standard of sexuality, we enter into a whole different world, and the consequences are so ongoing. I speak to those of you who have fallen, first of all, and I want to say to you that there is mercy, there is grace, there's cleansing, and there's forgiveness, and we encourage you to listen to the rest of this message. But at the same time, I speak to those of you who have not yet fallen. I encourage you to never become involved in sexual relationships and sexual sins. And the reason for that is that when we are involved outside of the sacred bond of marriage, we are then in territory that has repercussions. That's the way in which God set it up. And for those of us who have the responsibility of taking care of children and grandchildren, we need to teach them in such a way that they understand the sacredness of sexuality.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of Sexual Freedom, The Poisoned Oasis, another message in his series on Seven Secret Snares. Tomorrow, we'll explore the way out of the darkness of so-called sexual freedom. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book Seven Snares of the Enemy by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.